You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey there, I'm your host, Captain Dean, and on this episode, being taped at the infamous Q-Time Cocktails and Billiards and Darts and Billiards and all that stuff, my guest is the lead singer of Gravel Switch, and that is what he is.
How's it going, man?
Seth Wade, welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Well, thank you for taking time to do this. We are at Q Time because Gravel Switch is literally loading in the door to play a show tonight.
Yep.
On the particular time and place that we are sitting here. but I appreciate you taking time to do this. You're not originally from Bowling Green. You're not a Bowling Green band, but you do play here a lot.
We do play here. We don't play here as much as we'd like to.
But you've
anymore,
played here
but
quite
we've
a
played
bit.
Here
you've
a
built
lot.
A really strong fan base
we,
from here.
We have a great fan base here, and we've played here a lot. Like when I joined the band, this was like the first big show that we had.
Yeah,
you know, we had a full weekend here. We had a full weekend. My first weekend,
right?
And so we played a show, and then came here and played it. Thursday night, I think, at Bruco, you know, down on the square. So
back
it was,
in the day when they had Thursday nights for hopping.
Yeah, man, Thursday nights was awesome back then. I miss those days.
Well, let's get back to the beginning. And Seth, where are you from?
I'm from Russell Springs, Kentucky.
Okay.
Sister city to Jamestown, which is where the band is originated from. Mm-hmm. So,
but Gravel Switch, the band, Gravel Switch is an actual town, correct?
Gravel Switch is a town.
In that area?
We're about an hour away in Lebanon.
So,
Marion County.
Is that where the name came from?
That is exactly where the name came from. The original singer, Matt Moore, actually lived there and spent time there as a kid.
Okay.
So he was like, man, that's a perfect name.
It's a cool name.
The original.
It's a confusing name, I think.
It is. They're like, where does that come from?
With gravel? What is this?
What's going on? But no, it is a town name in Marion County. And the band name used to be Livid. And that was already taken once the band started to grow and progress and we started to try to brand the name.
Yeah.
We realized that they realized that the name was already taken.
Like you said, you're not the original lead singer.
Right. I'm not the original lead singer.
But going back a little bit, you are a lead singer, you're a vocalist.
I am a vocalist.
Play music at all?
I cannot. Sadly,
so
I cannot.
Talented singer that has no instrument training of any kind.
I have no instrument training. I have no
it's
vocal
a naturally
training.
Naturally gifted voice.
I guess. I mean, I grew up in church. You know, as a lot of vocalists do.
I was going to ask what got you into singing and what
my
was
dad
your path?
Actually.
Okay.
My dad got me into singing big time because, he was the song leader at our church.
Okay.
And they were. Training
kind of a
me.
Common story to hear from a lot of vocalists. Yeah. You know, they very typical, and I guess even in the South,
Southern
a
Baptist,
lot of people grew
Southern
up in
Baptist church
singing.
Yeah.
And
I was being formed to take over his spot as song leader, and but more than that, it was the car rides, man. You know, we would travel to go see family or whatever, and it was always music blaring in the car.
So
you know,
a musical household?
You know, from him, yeah. It was
listening, not necessarily playing or
constant,
anything.
Yeah. He is not a musician.
That's interesting.
He can just sing.
That's
you
cool.
Know? And I grew up doing the same thing. I mean, I tried my hand at guitar first, and I realized that I can't make my left hand and my right hand do different things at the same time.
Yep.
And so I kind of sidelined playing guitar. I learned a lot about guitar. I learned a lot about how it works and a lot of things like
but
that.
But this was as young as you can go back.
You
just grew up with your father was singing all the time. You grew up in church with a lot of singing.
Yep.
So it's basically been your whole life. You can't really nail down
I don't know a certain time or an event that made me start singing.
Just lifelong.
It's just always been there.
Yeah, like you were born into it.
It's literally been there. Okay. Like, it's always been in the background.
When did you yourself kind of step out outside of church and start maybe singing in bands or with friends? Did you have garage bands that didn't amount to anything, or did you just get together and jam with people? What got you on the path to being where you are today?
It was actually a beautiful accident, man. It was
I was going to say, your song Beautiful Misery doesn't have anything to do with Beautiful Accident.
Well, no, it doesn't. But, it's kind of similar, you know.
Is that the right title?
Yeah, Beautiful Misery.
Okay, see?
Yeah,
I do know things.
That's going to be our full length. That's what the title of our full length is going
to
be.
And we will get to
soon.
That. But, stay tuned.
I was dating a girl, you know, that was friends, mutual friends, and she was like, "You got to come to this house party with me." You know, all of my
Kid
friends
and are going to be there.
Yeah,
and we're going to have a good
pretty
time.
Pretty much. It actually turned into a little wilder party than that. But,
oh my!
And it was every weekend.
Okay.
Every night of the weekend.
That's a hell of a party.
You know, it was every weekend. So I ended up meeting Josh there.
Okay.
I met Josh Pierce there. And
Josh Pierce was the original
guitarist for
Gravel Switch.
Livid/Gravel Switch, you know. And he was in that lineup that built the band, and he was like, "I can get up here and sing one with us," you know. And so I just jumped up there and done some cover stuff.
Had never done that. You never got out and did karaoke and did some Neil Diamond and Elvis?
I didn't. I was actually really nervous. Yeah. Like, so I didn't do it much. But there was a lot of alcohol involved that night, you know, of that party, and so I was like, my inhibitions was down. So I got up there and was singing. Yeah. Like they had converted
a cup of ambition. Right?
Yeah, they had converted their dining room into like a jam.
Yeah,
you know, a jam room.
Oh, it's like a typical
drums,
house party,
you know,
where they make room for a band.
Yeah, it was
everything kind of evolves around it.
And it was in a basement, so it was beautiful. Like, we wasn't disturbing anybody,
right,
and nothing like that, you know. And it was just a party. And when we got up there, and you know, there's no judgments. It was just having fun and getting up there and making
what
racket.
Year was this?
And that was probably about 2001 or 2002.
Okay,
something like that. Of course, mine and Josh's relationship grew drastically after that, you know, after we realized that we could make music together and stuff like that. So we started
practicing
like acoustic sets that we could go and just sit around bonfires and party with people.
Okay. But you're saying that Josh was already in that band that already existed?
Josh had already started Gravel Switch.
Okay.
And this was, you know, it was fun to him, you know, just to get out and not have to worry about a show and the structure of a show. And, you know, we was just going to hang out and have fun.
But you weren't in that particular band at the time.
I wasn't.
But you eventually did get into
that,
it.
That
so
started
how long
me,
were they a band with the original lead singer?
It actually started about the same time, about 2002.
Okay,
is when they adopted the name Gravel Switch.
Okay.
You know, when they took that name and started to run with it, and all while that was going on, me and Josh was doing our acoustic thing, and he was like, "What started me getting to come and play and out in front of people was," he's like, "Hey, man, you know, we've got this show coming up. You need to, you know, we've got breaks at the show.
You should
get up,
hop up
and do a couple acoustic songs in our breaks."
So Josh was very encouraging to kind of mentor you into doing this.
He was. And another guy, which, you know, you ask about garage bands, or you had asked about garage bands before. After I'd met Josh and things, I kind of met and became friends with Jeff Garner.
Okay.
Jeff has done everything to play on stages with Motley Crue and, you know, and all that stuff. Alice Cooper, things like that, opening for them.
The good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And the big tours, man. And he was home for a little while, and he was like, hey, you and Josh need to come, and let's do this side project.
Okay.
And basically, you know, years later, he told me, he's like, man, I just wanted you to be able to use your voice so people could hear it. I started that band just to light a fire in you to play music for people, in front of people. And it did work. He was in a band at home, just a cover band called Fireline at the time, and he was like, we'll start this band. Mm-hmm. We'll work up 45 minutes. We can open for my other band, Fireline,
right,
at the county fair. And I was like, awesome. You know, so we busted our tail. And, I mean, they all knew it. They all knew the material and stuff. But I had to really work on...
Well, not only developing your... I mean, being comfortable on stage.
My comfort level
singer,
was the main thing.
Learning how to adapt to being on stage with live instruments. And
so... Everybody's probably watched the movie Big Daddy, you know, with Adam Sandler. Yeah. And he tells the little kid anytime that he's nervous or scared to put on these sunglasses. Yeah. That's what I did.
Yeah.
You know, for the longest time when I was first starting out, I would wear sunglasses so I could close my eyes and kind of zone out and be in my own world. Like, I would just be in the practice room and it would just be us four or five,
right,
you know.
It does block out the audience.
It does help.
I've been in that situation.
And so that's what I did for the longest time, even after I started in Gravel Switch. You know, I tried to separate myself because I was really nervous that I would mess up.
Right.
So
I get it.
Once I got all that, you know, kind of nailed down, you know, I got the comfort level, you know. And like I say, it all come from Jeff and Josh, you know, just kind of pushing me to do better and, you know, to get out in front of people.
What was the transition going into starting out like that to you actually becoming the main lead singer? Like, what happened to the original lead singer?
My transition into the band was, of course, doing the acoustic songs in between the sets. But after I started doing that, I kind of became the roadie.
Okay.
So it was carrying equipment, hooking things up.
You're part of the circus,
everybody was good.
You also got to participate.
Right. Yeah. I was there, but I wasn't the focal point, you know, which was
the
awesome
special guest
at the time. You know, it was awesome, you know, because I was dipping my toe in the water.
Yeah.
You know. And I was gaining stage time and I was getting a behind the scene look of how the whole thing worked, you know, how the whole machine worked. And I was, you know, getting to be part of it a little bit at a time, too. So, you know, it was great. You know, nobody can really believe that I was actually a roadie. But, I mean, I done merch sales and carried equipment,
which really
things up. And
shows as of today, because you're still very much that person. You are the lead singer of this band, but you're also the driving force of it in a way. I mean, I know you're a group.
Right.
And everyone, you know, does things. You have help, like awesome Kenny behind you over there.
Yeah.
I can see Kenny. But, like, I think that shows in you today. You don't just sit around and, I'm just saying that most lead singers I've worked with carry their microphone stand in.
Yeah.
And that's about it. I'm just saying.
No, I don't want to be there.
You lift amps, you move things, you literally are hands-on with this band.
Exactly.
And that shows from what you're saying by being your kind of introduction into the world of it.
Well, I mean, there's a certain pride that you have to take in everything that you do.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure everything is correct.
Well, you're very professional about it.
I try to be. You know,
you are. I mean,
still
you
don't
guys
know
have always
everything.
Been, well, you never will, but you're very professional about the way you handle yourself on and off stage.
Thank you.
I mean, I've known you for a long time at this point. I'd say at least 5 years.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, at least.
And, I mean, you've just always been a stand-up guy.
Thank you, man.
You've always been completely down to earth, as far as I can tell. And it just shows.
I'm just a dude.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a dude that...
a dude with a pretty fucking powerful voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And, you know, I try to use it wisely. Yeah. And
I mean,
and
you guys are a full blown, in your face rock and roll band.
That's what me and Josh, when we was building this
right.
machine, and that's what we've always referred to it as, is a machine. You know, parts can interchange out of right. a machine.
True.
As long as it keeps working.
And it has.
And it has. It's like we've got new production parts, you know, in this yeah. old machine, but every time that we add parts to it, you know, it yeah. keeps running better
still
and better.
Up.
You know, it well, still keeps going awesome.
Before we get into the history of Gravel Switch and everything, as a vocalist coming into that world, who are some of your influences? Like, what did you listen to and what inspired you to want to be the singer that you are today?
Man, I don't know what actually inspired me to actually want to sing, other than, of course, just hearing the music, and I loved it, you know. And I, like I say, I heard my dad sing while we was in the car,
mm-hmm.
and.
But were there any, like, I guess, particular bands that came across your radar? Because I mean, you're a rock and roll lead singer.
There was a few
bands. Came across your radar that said, "Ooh, I want to
like
do that."
Super early, I loved Journey, Pink Floyd,
mm-hmm.
REO Speedwagon.
You only said Pink Floyd because I'm sitting here.
Cheap Trick. You know, no, I mean.
I know.
Like,
but you grew up on the classics.
And the weird thing about Pink Floyd thing is that I could honestly not hear any vocals and just hear David Gilmour play guitar.
Yeah.
It's.
See, now everyone's, you know, coming in and going to start messing with
it's
you.
It's that kind of thing, you know, to me. It's just the love of hearing it.
Right. It's the classics.
Once my dad got
that's the
Pearl Jam 10.
Radio stuff and,
yeah.
you know, anything that was,
once my dad got Pearl Jam 10
yeah.
and Throwing Copper by Live,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, because I hadn't. Because
you're a 90s kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm old.
No.
I'm old compared
I'm older.
To my band, you know. I'm old compared to my bandmates,
right.
you know. I'm full
well,
decade
you are now,
older.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a full decade older, and I even was then, except for
really?
the original lead singer.
How old are you?
I'm 30. I'll be 38
okay.
in a couple months.
Yeah, you are a little older than I thought.
So, you know, I'm a full decade older than the band, and the only person that was ever older than me was the original singer, Matt.
Okay.
You know, and everybody else was always younger than me.
So, I think the entire band Gravel Switch has joined the podcast.
I think they have. But
hi, guys. Hi, guys.
What's up, Dave?
But, yeah, it was hearing that, and then my dad had some friends locally that had a little local band, and on Wednesday nights he would take me to their practice.
Oh, cool.
And so I would get to actually just be on stage listening to them practice, you know, nobody in the audience or nothing like that. There
right.
was nobody there. It was just me, my dad, and basically the band. And I got this itch for the stage,
mm-hmm.
you know. I was like, that's awesome. And I was probably, I don't know, 12 or 13,
okay.
you know. So, but my whole life, like as a child, was odd, even for then, because, you know, that's when early 90s, you know, and all that stuff, late 80s, everybody was like, let's get a Nintendo or, you know, whatever,
right.
Atari. I literally sat in the car
yeah.
and listened to cassette
tapes. I did the exact same thing.
But after I ran the battery dead on my dad's car a couple times, I realized that you have to hook a battery charger up to it, you know, because they were stick shift,
yeah.
and I didn't want to start them and burn all the gas out and
right.
die from carbon monoxide poisoning. So,
well, I'm glad you didn't do that.
Yeah, so I would hook battery chargers up, and I would sit in there and listen to tapes
yeah.
like over and over. Like for
I used to do that in my grandmother's car when I'd stay with her on the weekends, because she didn't have like modern stereo equipment.
Yeah.
And her car stereo sounded awesome.
Yeah.
So I'd go out there and listen to all my tapes and stuff.
I actually had a boombox that I would take when I would go stay with my grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, and I would take all
mm-hmm.
my stuff everywhere that I went. And
God,
so
I can
just
relate to that.
I could just have it. You know, I had a suitcase record player that played like 45s.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, I had
Creedence
Clearwater Revival on
portable record player.
Yeah. I mean, I had that.
Yeah.
But when Walkman came out, I was.
I know.
Oh, my.
Shoot. I always had to buy jeans that had big enough pockets so you could shove it in the pocket.
I think that's where JNCOs came from. They were just probably about 5 or 8
JNCOs
years
were
behind.
For CD players.
Discmans.
Thank that's God for the iPod, right?
Mm-hmm.
Typical rock and roll singer answer. I mean, you grew up on everything from the 50s through the 90s. I mean, the greats obviously stood out. That had a big impact on you to kind of follow that.
The bands that I
but you're open minded like musically. You listen to a lot.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I'm a avid lover of country music.
Right.
I mean, especially late
but
80s.
Aside from
90s.
The bands you listed, which would be like in your go to desert island kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
You are wide open to listening and learning from just about anything.
Oh, absolutely. I can appreciate all styles of music,
right?
You know, and I can find enjoyment in all styles of music because
good.
You know there's an artistry
well,
and there's
a true
a passion.
Singer usually can.
There's a passion for every instrument, and a lot of times I don't. A lot of times I just look for vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that isn't there,
right?
You know,
but you can just get inspired in
oh,
general.
Oh yeah, there's
you know?
There's always something, you know, that some band or that a band has to offer,
right?
You know, and you just pick out and it's, you know, you hone in on that and you find, I can find great enjoyment in any band.
Right.
Know?
Well, when you got into the band or the band got rolling with you on lead vocals, what happened? Like, did you guys just hit the ground running and just start playing shows?
Essentially, yeah. I mean,
they were already established.
They had already had a really good brand.
So you kind of stepped into something that was already going.
I stepped into a machine that was working. It just wasn't working at its full potential.
Okay.
For multiple different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I got in the band, we had like 3 weeks of practice. Now, mind you, I went from just kind of casually listening to these songs
and,
you know, knowing a bunch of acoustic songs, but casually listening to their songs while I was in the audience
mm-hmm.
or running merch or whatever, to having to learn them word for word and figure out the vocal progression
mm-hmm.
and things.
But it came together pretty quick.
And so, I tried really hard to keep it true to Matt's vocals on a lot of stuff, and
right.
I still do.
That's
like,
good.
Like on Fate, Fate is one of our most well-known and loved songs.
Uh-huh.
Josh actually sang that live before I joined the band.
Okay.
But I try to stick true to his vocal progression
right.
and, you know, the tones that
stand
he used.
True to the song.
No More was one of Matt's songs, and I really try to still sound like Matt when we play No More. You know, it's because I want to keep it true to the song,
yeah,
and I want the song
honoring
to be
where the band came from and how it
I want
all
the song to be what it's supposed to be.
Right.
Now, yeah, I mean, I did go and nitpick and change a few things and take a line out here or there,
right.
whatever, you know, just to make it easier for me.
Right.
Because being well heard and well understood. I don't like to mumble. I don't like to stumble over
right,
words.
Right, you're very.
I want to enunciate.
Your voice is
very well.
Powerful.
Thank
it's
you.
Very upfront. It's very good.
So you know, there was a lot of work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And
so who was? I know you guys aren't technically again a Bowling Green based band, but this podcast is not only about the Bowling Green music scene. It's about, I would say, the South Central Kentucky music scene.
Right.
And in my opinion, Russell Springs kind of falls into that category. I mean, I've interviewed a ton of people from Glasgow and, you know,
yeah, we're
that
on the
area.
Outskirts.
Yeah. So it's like you're still part of it, you know, and because you come here all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we love this place. And like I say, the one of the first weekends that I was the vocalist, you know, we came here and we had like 4 hours to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my first weekend in the band,
I had
two back-to-back four-hour shows.
Awesome.
And, you know, we was working hard for that. We had one four-hour show the following weekend. And then the next weekend, we had a battle of the bands that we was playing in.
Nice.
And we was actually playing against, I almost want to say, well, it was Willow Shade.
Right.
I think they had changed their name
Corbin
to Willow Shade.
Corbin was in that band, right?
Corbin
Burke.
And Christian Tamamo, Anthony, and Chris's little brother.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I cannot think of his name.
That's the best part of doing these damn things.
Yeah,
I forget everything.
Is, you know, and of course you never know where this is going to lead. But, you know, Willow Shade, there was 3 points different,
yeah,
you know, between first and second place.
Isn't that awesome?
We ended up getting first place, which was amazing because we literally took that money and went right to Atlanta and started recording the No Regrets EP.
Okay.
And
now, who was in the band when you officially joined the band?
It was me, Josh Chapman, and Charlie Payne.
Okay.
Charlie Payne had been playing drums for us, or for the band, for about 8 or 9 months, I guess, before I joined, because I was in on his auditioning and all that stuff. Like,
right.
I knew when all that was happening. And
then eventually the lineup changed a little bit.
It changed changed a little bit.
You got Johnny Hodge on drums.
We did get Johnny. Charlie left. We got Johnny. Then Chapman left, and we brought Matt back to play bass.
And Matt was with you guys
when
I first met you.
Matt was with us for almost like 2 years again playing bass, and which was awesome because it brought back the original gravel switch vocal sound,
right,
and the writing ability. And he was just, yeah, I mean, he's a great dude.
Right. You know, and that's the lineup I think I first saw.
Yeah.
I know at one point you had two guitar players.
We did.
But
Jordan,
when I met you, it was just Josh.
Jordan Pierce had joined about that time. And, you know, it was great. You know, and that's the craziest thing about, you know, the journey and the juggle of the lineup that we've had is it's always like – we've always grown,
right?
You know, either in sound or writing capability. You know, sometimes things have taken a step. Some certain aspects have taken a step back, but other aspects have really stepped up. You know, availability. You know, of people to be able to go out and pursue and
life.
Travel.
Yeah.
You know,
life happens. Currently, Gravel Switch is Stephen Douglas on guitar.
Yep.
Harley Wilson on drums, and
Cameron Bryant,
and Harley
strings.
And Cameron were in a band called Out of the Ashes.
Yes,
and they were doing really good.
They
for
were doing big
a very
things,
short
man.
Time. Yeah,
they were doing big things. You know, and like we were. Somerset is actually closer to Rose Springs. You know, we're just 30 minutes apart.
Yeah,
and where they were from. And, you know, we were growing together. You know, we were doing shows together and whatnot.
Again, it's a very strong music scene out there.
It is.
Yeah.
The scene in Somerset alone, Pulaski County, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So many talented
individuals.
Yeah,
just a ton of talent. It just goes to show, like, this area. I mean, Bowling Green as a city has a great music scene of bands and venues and all of that, but it really does branch out into a much bigger picture when you tack in these other places around us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, especially within like just an hour radius around us.
Yeah, you know? hour and a half, you know.
And you guys are very much a part
radius.
Of that, but you've been coming to this town doing Gravel Switch shows for quite some time.
My first show here was in 2009.
Oh, okay. So 10 years,
almost 10 years. It was August of 2009.
Awesome.
So I'm approaching my 10-year anniversary.
Well, congratulations!
Oh, thank you, man.
Do you get a little button for that? Can you make
I
some
really
more
know.
Merch?
I might. I don't know. I might get a.
You can get some Gravel Switch panties, and you'll have to wear them on stage for your anniversary.
I probably won't, but I mean, it's a good thought for somebody. I guess I don't know, and not for me. It's
for,
not a good
yeah,
for
it's
me.
Totally for you. But yeah, you. This is, like you said, this is really, you have no other band to speak of.
I don't.
You don't have
this
a big list
first.
Of I was in 8 bands and I finally ended up in this one. This has been your home base for quite a while, and you kind of were in the band, so to speak, in the beginning.
Yeah, well, you know, about 2006 or something, mm-hmm. I was the roadie for 2 or 3 years.
You were the
roadie years.
And the special guest.
Yeah, you know. But
that's still a long time of just not only the affiliation and the friendship that you and Josh had right. and coming into it, but, I mean, to be going up on 10 years of being the lead singer of this band and going through a lot of, you know, band member changes and stuff, you have personally kept this alive and going.
I've really tried to. And, I mean, the reason being is, you know, seeing it from the outside as a roadie or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, coming in, I could see the weak points.
Right.
You know, as soon as I stepped in, I was like, first thing we have to do is address these weak points.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to work
Again,
on our
you,
stage
you
presence.
Approached it as a very professional.
I tried to make it a business.
Yeah.
You know, I set up our own, you know, checking account, and, you know, mm-hmm. Gravel Switch had its own money, and yeah. was making our own money.
A lot of people
and
don't
that
get
stuff.
That.
And
they get really bent out of shape when you bring up you know, money and music business.
We decided then that we was going to work hard to make our stage show as good as we could on a budget,
yeah.
you know. And we sunk a lot of money
you guys
into
have,
lights.
I've seen some good shows.
You know, lights and all that stuff, which we don't even really use anymore.
Yeah.
I have a chest of like $5,000 worth of light rig. You know, a truss system yeah. that's just sitting over there.
Well, it's just a lot to you load
know,
in
it,
and out
it
of
is.
Certain places, you know.
It is. And, you know, but, I mean, that's, we wanted it, we literally looked at each other and was like, me and Josh was like, we have to make this a spectacle.
Yeah.
It's not just we're not just trying to be a bar band. Mm-hmm. I mean, bar bands are cool.
No, you're putting on a show.
But, you know, we want to be a bar band that can
like
put on a show.
You're doing, like, the rock and roll show of what the equivalent of what Hollywood would have been like. You know, you always hear and see the stories of bands on the Sunset Strip. They're like, we've got to do something different. We've got to stand out. We've
yeah.
got to be dramatic. We've got to be entertaining. And we've got to just put on a show. And that's what you guys do.
That's what
but
we've always wanted
to do.
But
without spandex and makeup.
You know,
you can try it if you want.
I don't really want to. We
this
actually,
is where the
we
song
actually did
comes
get,
in.
We actually did get Matt Moore in some spandex zebra print.
Very good. Well,
one,
at least
one
you
day,
tried.
Well, we done an '80s
yeah.
theme for our first Halloween show that we played in Bowling Green.
That's awesome.
At Miss Kitty's, and that was actually the first time that a lot of the locals here seen us because we got to open up for 6-4.
Yeah,
and that was a huge deal for us, man.
Yeah.
That really broke us into a lot of.
Yeah, I was going to say Miss Kitty's was a really hopping place for a while.
Oh man, it was great
and very
they had a
open
great stage.
To heavy bands, original
yes.
bands. Unfortunately, it kind of went to the side of mostly half-ass cover band type things and no bands at all,
yeah.
karaoke and
I
all
think
that,
it's karaoke in the corner
At one
now.
Point, they had a killer stage and
yeah.
Really, really good shows.
Yeah.
And that was your introduction to playing in Bowling Green?
Not the introduction to playing in Bowling Green, but that was the introduction to a lot of the fans that we currently
right, the
have
fan base,
here.
Yeah.
You know, the fan base, you know, because when we was normally playing here, we was playing to college kids.
Right. You mentioned
really
Brewing Company
care.
Earlier.
You know, they was coming because it was $10 to get
yeah.
in all you could drink at Bruco.
Yeah.
You know, from 9 to 1 or
right.
something like that. You know, who ain't going to come
what
out
a,
to
what
that?
What a bargain.
Yeah. I mean, I would do that now. They would go broke. You know, if Gravel Switch went in there now, they would be cutting us off is what would happen.
Well, but you guys started coming here fairly early on then. I mean, obviously,
oh, yeah.
when you were in the band. You played Brewing Company, as you mentioned. You've played Dublin's.
We played Tidballs.
A lot of success at the Spillway.
Yes.
Spillway's
been great to us.
Yeah.
We just have recently started in the last probably 2 years playing here at Q-Time.
Yep.
And love the
Which
staff
is where we
here,
are,
you
by
know,
the way.
Love
Can
we
you
love
hear
playing
the cue ball breaking there?
Clank. But
we're in the dart yeah. path, too. We need to
yeah.
watch out for people throwing darts.
I've got my helmet on. I don't leave home without it. But, you know, Bowling Green's been wonderful to us, man. And I'm really glad to see how great Bowling Green still is.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times, you know, scenes come and go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like this scene is, it's ever revolving,
right,
man. You got awesome musicians. I mean, you got the John Kings, and you've got the Dane Colliers, and you know,
who's
you've
that?
Got, you know, you've got Trevor and Malcolm and Clayton, yeah, and
it's
Corbin
a rich
and all that stuff.
It's
Kiss
a,
Kiss Bang.
It's a rich, you know, music scene. It's really hard to
beautiful here,
yeah,
you know,
it
because
really
there's
is
nowhere that you can in walking distance, like you can walk out any door and walk, you know, a half mile and hear live music somewhere.
It tears me up a lot of weekends that, you know, even like the night we're speaking.
Right.
You know, you're here 6 floors in Glasgow and I've got some friends playing at the A-Frame and you all go on stage at like the same damn time.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know what I'm gonna do. It's nice like that. It's like, you know, I have a great music scene. I live in a wonderful music scene that I've been a part of for a long time. And that shit makes it hard as hell, yeah, to, like, go out and catch everything. Because you can't.
Yeah, you absolutely, you know, can't. I mean, I've tried to do it, you know, on nights that I'm off. I love,
yeah,
watching live
bands. I know. I've seen you drive all the way here just to go to a show at Spillway.
You know, and I try to catch it on where, like there's a couple different nights, and I try to bounce and make my, yeah, rounds and go and at least
sometimes you can
handshakes,
do it,
high fives, yeah, and hugs, you know, and, yep, love, you know, shake hands and kiss babies and all that stuff.
A baby in a bar.
Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful thing. But
I don't know about that.
If I'd have had my choice, I'd have been born in a bar. But
there you,
know,
you go.
But, you know, I try to go out and because I love music.
Right. You're,
you know,
you're a fan.
I am a fan.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be a fan.
Well, when you have come here, and I can say this on a personal note, you guys have been very gracious of booking shows and reaching out to bands and not just the friends, you know, the ones you consider close friends, but you reach out to a variety of different bands.
I do.
And,
I mean,
and
I
get
try
them
to
on the bill and try to have them come along. You call it the Gravel Switch Nation. I mean,
sure,
you have a strong fan base, and you bring these bands in to be a part of your fan base, and for, and, you know, almost like a family.
Yeah, it. I mean, it is a family.
And you welcomed me in a long time ago, and I'm extremely grateful for that.
You know, I mean,
you're the best T-shirt salesperson I've ever had.
Oh yeah, yeah. I get people all
Seth
the time.
Has
who is
every
this Captain
Dean T-shirt that I ever put out?
Except the sumo. I don't think
you
I
didn't
have
get the sumo?
Sumo. I don't.
Damn it! If I'd known that, I would have brought one too. I'll take care of that. I know a guy. But you guys have been really, really kind with sharing the stage. Who over the years have you come to Bowling Green with and shared the stage with that stands out to you, past or present?
I mean, present, of course, tonight here at Q-Time, we're bringing our friends from Jackson, Tennessee, Caging Elliot, up, mm-hmm, here. And, I mean, it's really hard to put a number or a name to all of them, because every time that we come here,
you don't just bring the same bands.
I don't bring the same bands, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to show swap.
Again, you're putting on a show, and you want
to
bring diversity.
A show. We want to bring diversity.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I do it as a business aspect for us,
mm-hmm,
because I'm trying to, you know, I guarantee these bands to come down from Ohio or come up from Tennessee, guarantee them a certain amount of money.
Right.
And then, in turn, we get to go to their city.
Right.
And play
and
for that same amount of money, you know, and we
that's
just scratch
exactly
each other's
how,
back, you know.
That's exactly how
it's building a regional music scene,
right,
instead of
and
as
I was
opposed
about
to a city.
I was about to,
you know,
touch on that. You guys do, as a South Central Kentucky-based band, you handle your home turf very well. Obviously, you play in Bowling Green. You play a lot in your
Somerset, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say Somerset or Russell Springs.
It's
where is that,
Somerset,
those clubs at?
It's basically we've got one place.
Is that the Looney
maybe
Bin?
No, that's actually – Looney Bin is actually in Bradley, Illinois.
See,
we've got Mugby's.
Mugby's.
We've got Mugby's in Burnside, which is Pulaski County, Somerset.
Okay.
Know. So we play there once a month.
But you'll do, like, certain maybe events or things in your home turf area.
Yeah, we play as much as we can at home.
Yeah.
Very limited at home.
Right. But around here, you come here often. You go to,
yes,
Louisville often.
We go to Louisville often. We do – We're trying to get into Lexington, but as I
say, Lexington's weird.
As I say, you know, that's one of the places that sadly the music scene has become crippled.
I've talked about it in the past episode. It's like it's a strange music scene.
It's tough.
It's a sport town. That's how I look at Lexington.
It is, but isn't everywhere in Kentucky?
No, I think Lexington's diehard horses and sports. Like
Lexington
is
super.
The music scene is so little. Like there's bands there, there's clubs there, but I've had this conversation with a few people. Lexington just doesn't have the support system of a strong local music scene, so to speak. So a lot of bands may be based in Lexington because it sounds cool. It's a big city. It's a nice town. But they all go to Frankfort and Louisville and maybe even up to Covington. I mean, they're closer to Cincinnati than you know, things like that. So I think a lot of bands based out there have much better luck in other towns. If they did the radius thing around Lexington, they can hit a lot of places that have good shows and venues and things like that.
Yeah.
But you guys do a lot of, you know, local stuff, including Bowling Green, which you've been very strong performing here for years. But you do a lot of regional touring.
We try to.
And you do
little
tours. You do little 2-week tour kind of things too. So you really are a working band, not just locally, but
we're not active. Just the bouncing back and forth between the same four or five bars.
Yeah.
You know, we've been trying to spiral this out. You know, start small circle and then keep building a fan base, keep growing.
Yeah.
You know, we just got back from Texas in January. You know, we went all over Texas.
It's big.
And it is enormous. Oh my goodness. There is you can't go. I mean, it's a day's drive between every venue.
It's
ridiculous.
Crazy.
But you know, we're getting ready to do Alabama, Georgia, Florida run here in April coming up in a couple weeks, and you know, we try to pick out spots in time, you know, week, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. And we just put all our effort into going to one region.
Right.
Growing in
that. Attack.
Yeah.
Take over.
Growing in that region, you know. And then we come back home. We do our little circle here. And, of course, we've got a great fan base in Iowa.
Yeah, you do.
In Illinois. Wisconsin, you know, which we are going to be going to in June. We've then got 2 weeks set aside in June that we're going to be going and attacking the Midwest, you know. So, I mean, we
just goes to show.
Try to stay busy.
You guys are the real thing.
Well, I mean, as real as it can be and still being broke.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, we try to work and we try to make connections, and that's what
and
it's all
do.
About. Make connections with the bar owners, the promoters, and we help them with their other bands.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've had people from Wisconsin, you know, contact me about trying to get them booked coming through Kentucky.
Right, right.
You know, so I'll reach out to my connections.
And that's how
and I'm
it
like,
works.
Hey,
that's this, how it all you know, works.
Here's a possible spot, you know, and you know, just trying to bridge gaps.
Right. And you're doing a good job of that.
I mean,
and they're also helping you. So
absolutely.
Good thing to have friends like that. Musically speaking, when you mentioned earlier, like you guys are doing these 3 and 4 hour shows, that's because you do a lot of covers. You do a lot of choice covers. I've seen your show many times with the variety of lineups as of the current 4 or 5 years from now, or four now. You guys do a lot of stuff. And I mean a lot. You go from Johnny Cash to Alice in Chains, and, you know, it's diverse.
Yeah.
And it's really strong, and it's really good. But you do make sure that the originals are dominant. You don't just play a few originals and a bunch of covers.
Right.
You do mix it up pretty well.
We try to keep it about 70-30.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of our, you know, 70% original spaced in between covers. You know, and the reason for the diversity in the set is because we want everybody that's in the band to have a song on, you know, some songs on the set list that they absolutely love.
Right.
Because there's going to be songs on the set list that you don't like playing.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's just part
individually,
of it.
You know.
But so, I've seen you guys where it's just you and a bunch of other bands, and you only get 45 minutes, and right. You stick to the originals.
Oh, yeah, we stick to the originals. We've got.
That's what you're supposed to do.
We've got, the Folsom Prison cover that we play that everywhere that we go.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of become a staple.
Yeah.
You know, and since we recorded it and, you know, released it, you know, it's,
well,
it's kind of become necessary to play that.
That's a fan favorite.
It's been asked a lot.
Do you guys have, as a band, over the years, how many albums have you put out, hard copies and everything?
We have 2 full-length albums out right now. We have a third that is finally done.
Okay.
And we've already got a single
recorded. Right, I was going to say, you've put out some singles with videos to go along with it.
Yeah, the third album is going to be a compilation of all these singles.
Okay.
That we've released. And it's just...
Right, House of Cards and...
It's going to have all the Beautiful Misery EP on it. And plus House of Cards, Stay High, right. Folsom Prison, and... No Way Down.
Okay.
So it's going to have those 5 songs plus these, or those 4, and then plus these 4. So,
right.
You know, it's going to be an 8-song full length.
Good.
And we've already got a single written and recorded at Gem City Studios that is in the mastering stages as of right now.
And Clayton Crowder, in his episode of the Sound Atlas, mentioned Gem City.
Yes.
And that he had been recording there and working on some stuff. And he mentioned that you, I believe, put him in touch with Matt, right? Is it Matt McQueen?
It is Matt McQueen, and which he is our business manager.
Okay.
Matt is. He's a great friend. He's an awesome studio engineer and
but
producer.
That's where you guys have been recording recently.
That's where we've been recording for a little over a year. He did the video shooting
as well.
He done the video for Folsom Prison.
Okay.
The in-studio video. Now, we do have a video for No Way Down that should be coming out here pretty soon.
Okay.
That
See, Scott I knew you Lindsay, were working on something.
That Scott Lindsay and Lindsay Productions has shot for us. It's in the final editing stages.
Was that done at Gem City Studios?
No, it was actually done here in Bowling Green.
We
actually came to Bowling Green and done it.
Okay.
So we got all that going.
Cameron's behind me.
Yeah. He can't stand
it. If only this was a televised thing.
See, the thing about it is he can't stand it, but if you was to ask him to come and do it, he'd be like, nope, I don't want to do it.
These are individual interviews.
But, you know, we've got... We got a lot of things, you know, a lot of things going on, and that's kind of how it's got to be. You got to have a lot of irons in the fire to make sure that one of them's hot at all times.
Well, you're just constantly busy and putting stuff out and keeping the fans on their toes.
We're really excited about this new song, Devil's Toll. We've got a lot of things coming up, man. Okay. It's
So as far as the year 2019 goes, is that to be expected to be out at some point? In 2019, because it's hard to date things on these podcasts. But it is currently the year 2019.
I'm not exactly sure if we're going to release that as a single, or if we're going to hold it.
What about the album that you were talking about?
We will have eventually have all those hard pressed into CDs.
So you've got No Regrets, and what was the other one?
No Regrets, House.
No, the album.
Face the Day.
Face the Day, yeah.
And then we've just, like I say, finished up the Beautiful Misery.
Mm-hmm. Which came out as an EP.
It came out as an EP.
Somewhat re-release it with other stuff on it.
It's exactly what we've done with No Regrets. Because No Regrets first came out as an EP. Came out as a four-song EP or something. 3-song EP. And we just added to it and finished the album out once we got the money. You know, it's all about money, you know.
It sure is.
And that's why we've been just releasing singles.
Yeah.
You know, we release singles and we release them digitally. That way people can hear them.
Yeah.
And people can have them, but we wait and compile until we get CDs made or, you know, something hard pressed, you know.
Okay. Well, good. That's for all them fans out there. That's something to look forward to.
Bunch of stuff coming up. Could be some lineup stuff coming up or members added possibly.
Oh, good Lord.
Here, no, I mean
Sit
an addition. An addition.
Okay.
you know, but
I like Harley.
It's nobody likes Harley.
Well, I do.
But yeah, I mean, we always busy, always trying to move forward,
and you always have been since I've met you.
Trying
you
to,
just
I mean,
very active, hardworking band. You're very loyal to your fan base.
If you're
very
still, you're
foiled,
dead,
you know, loyal to being busy. You are a real full throttle rock and roll band, and you grace our fine city with your presence quite often.
Well,
and that is why you needed an episode on the Sound Atlas.
I'm so glad that you asked me. Thank you, man.
Not a problem. I appreciate you doing it.
We have always been excited and proud to be a part of
affiliated with Bowling Green.
Fan base.
Bowling Green, yeah.
You know, the Bowling Green.
It's a strong music scene.
And a lot of times, you know, we'll play in Louisville and they'll refer to us as being from Bowling Green.
Really?
And, you know, I mean, that's just, it's become commonplace.
I mean, it makes sense.
We don't correct them.
Yeah. But, I mean, kind of makes sense because I guess where you guys are from is really, really small.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Kind of off the map unless you're a local.
We literally, this week, started being able to sell alcohol on Sundays.
In the year 2019.
Yes, exactly.
Well, a lot of places around here are doing
that.
It's
like Gravel Switches from a Mennonite community.
Mm.
It's like Dark Ages.
Well, again, Gravel Switch sounds painful to me.
Yeah.
Because I think of Switch, I think of a stick broken off of a tree and getting your ass whooped for being bad.
I can tell you.
And if you put a bag of rocks on a
on
Switch.
On the end of that Switch.
That would hurt.
Yeah. That would be worse than a cat.
You could hot glue gravel to a big Switch and just beat the hell out of somebody.
That would almost be like a bat.
You just got gravel switched. Well, before we wrap this up, I have to point out on a local note that Tammy Wilson, my dear friend and yours, is who introduced me to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And Jessica, who is no longer with us, and Linda, who is out there in the parking lot. Those three really kind of brought your name to my attention because at the time, you know, you have your favorites, you have people you go out and support, and
right.
You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
But Tammy, at the time, was my beautician, or hairdresser, or however you want to word it, because I refused to have a man cut my hair. But Tammy was cutting my hair, and she was like, "You've got to go see this band. They're so good. They're so intense. They put on a great show." And I was like, all right, I'll go. And I went
to
see you guys.
She makes us sound really awesome.
You're awesome. I went to see you guys at the Spillway one night, and it was absolutely everything she said it was.
Well, good.
And Tammy and Jessica and Linda were front and center. I have to throw in Michelle on this because the four of them were really strong. And I, over time, met Monica and your loyal fan base, but also like your family.
Yeah.
You know, and that is what, when you say the GS Nation, that's what you're talking about. It's a family.
It is the truth. I mean, that's, we don't throw the term around lightly. Yeah. And
but those girls really loved you musically. They loved you guys off stage. I mean, not literally, but right. You know what I mean?
We're not crossing groupie boundary lines. But
they're just, you know, your loyal fan group.
It's great
and
friends.
They are absolutely,
it's not a fan base, it's
determined to make
sure
everyone knows who you are. And they brought me into
Tammy Wilson actually heard us the first time by accident.
Right. At that Miss Kitty show,
no,
I believe.
No, it was actually at Tidballs.
Oh, it was?
It was at Tidballs. We were, she was coming there to see 6-4.
Right.
And 6-4 couldn't make it that night. And so it turned into a 45-minute or an hour set from Gravel Switch and then a 6-4 show to Gravel Switch having to do everything. So we had to do everything acoustic. And Johnny had only been in the band a few weeks. So me and Josh had to do...
Barefoot badass.
Yeah. Me and Josh had to do a lot of, like, had to fall back on a lot of our acoustic stuff.
Right.
You know, like the campfire
bonfire
thing.
Which, by the way, is the Dirty Turkeys, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
It was the Dirty Turkeys. I think at that time we referred to ourselves as 60 Cycle Hum, but that got ridiculous, you know, to say. And we
That's
wanted
a
to be a little funnier than that, you know.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows that we're based on ignorance, you know. but you know.
Right.
We were playing there, and she was sitting in the back corner, and we took a break, and she brought me up, and she, I think her first question to me was like, "Where's John and the guys?" And I was like, "I don't know, you know, you'll have to, I don't know." So
I'm just here.
Yeah, I'm just doing what the bar tells me to do. You know, I was very new to play it.
So that's great. She's basically been along for the ride as long as you've been along.
Since Johnny's been in the band.
Yeah.
Which he got in the band, I think in 2013 or something like that. 11, 12 or 13. I don't know.
It's hard.
God, it's yeah. Man, you know, but it's.
I can't wait until it's the 20s. Because it'll be like, back in 23, everything was awesome.
Yeah. What?
This whole crap about back in the 13.
Yeah. But yeah.
Now I know what it felt like in 1905.
But yeah, it's been a crazy ride, and they have been right there with us, you know.
Yes, they have, and they brought me along.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful for that. And again, Tammy has an episode of the Sound Atlas. So anybody can go on thesoundatlas.com and go through the list of everyone that's got an episode. Tammy Wilson has an episode, and she very much gave a lot of credit where credit is due on her fandom and friendship in this music scene. And she mentioned you guys, and like you said, Sixth Floor, she's a big fan of both of you. And you guys recently teamed up to do a benefit show for her.
For her, yes.
Because she's been battling some shit lately, and we're all rooting for her to get through that, and she will. And I told this to Malcolm Warren when I interviewed him. We're going to do it again when Tammy is better.
We're going to do a celebration.
So that Tammy can be there front and center, because she was unable to make it. But it was Gravel Switch and Sixth Floor and Kiss Kiss Bang and Nine Horse Johnson and Shades of Raven. And who else was there? Two for Flinching,
yeah.
And all of you got together to do a benefit show for Tammy.
Yep.
And it was a huge success. And she was so grateful. And she very much... Who in this music scene deserves it more?
Nobody
you know
deserves
what I mean?
It more.
As far as those bands go anyway, she has been loyal to every one of you.
I have to give a huge shout out to all the bands involved and Michelle for getting the fire started on putting it together.
But
and
it just goes to show
Robert
again.
Robert for hosting it there at the Spillway.
This
music
scene is more than just music.
Oh, yeah.
It's a much deeper thing, and we all came together to help her in her time of need. And I told Malcolm that we're going to do it again.
Yes.
Because she needs to be front and center for that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a celebration.
Well, Seth, I've, again, known you for quite some time, but I just can't thank you enough for your friendship.
Thanks for asking me to come on.
You're very much an inspiration to me, and I'm sure a lot of bands around here will agree that that a lot of people look up to you. I'm not saying that. I mean it, because I know for a fact you've inspired a lot of bands out there that are just a little bit younger than you.
Well,
gave
cool.
them something to look up to, and
I just want to give people the drive to do it and the passion for the music.
Right,
it's about live music, man.
It is, and you guys
get out
are
and support it.
Very
and,
much a part of it.
You know, be a part of it. Yeah. Support it in any way that you can.
Well,
you know?
I wish you guys nothing but success. Whether you add another member or not. But I appreciate your time, and I look forward to what Gravel Switch does in the future.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
Thank you.